And she says, man, my grandchild better be worth it because I did not get my dessert pizza from the Lowys before we left Utah. And Patrick and I looked at each other. We're like, this is it. God's telling us we had to do something with this. And here we are 8 years later.
Hello, I'm David Mills. Welcome to Still Processing, a part of the Founders Table. I'm wired to touch the world like Jesus as someone who is apostolic and evangelistic. That means I'm passionate about getting people on mission and helping them take new steps toward Him. I love to live on the margin between the church and the marketplace. And I'm joined by Amy Alexander.
Hey there. I love seeing people inside and outside of church empowered to be on mission every single day. I'm gifted to display Jesus to the world as I teach what's true and shepherd people in their journey. These Still Processing episodes are designed to help you continue chewing on the ideas, truths, stories, and conversations you had during your weekly foundation session. In a world where answers are a Google search away, we recognize that time spent in community and time spent with Jesus brings about deeper, more meaningful revelation. So let's dive in and process together. Rebecca, thank you so much for being with us on the Still Processing episode.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me today. I'm really excited about it.
Rebecca Church, she is one of, I don't know what to call you other than a superstar entrepreneur. You're like one of those entrepreneurs that when you add the ands and the ands, all the ands are impressive. It's always something that I'm constantly impressed by you. So take a minute, if you would, before we dive into our topics and just share a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Sure, I'd love to. So as Amy mentioned, I'm Rebecca Church and serve in a variety of roles, wife and mother and daughter of our Savior. It comes first, but then my husband and I own a local restaurant in Fredericksburg, Virginia called Malawi's Pizza. And then I'm also a chief marketing officer for Franchise Well, which is a local business that helps other businesses become franchises. And then I serve as owner and chief operating officer for Fit 20. That is my main role as far as my day-to-day goes. And I'm really excited for all of the ways that the kingdom can come in all of those businesses.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing. We've had the pleasure of eating a lot of Malawi's pizza, and it's always delicious. So there's that. And we've had the pleasure of working out with you. So
yeah.
I mean, I haven't specifically worked out with you, but with your team.
Yes.
But yeah. My wife and I have, and she was our first trainer. I think we're like session 100 or something, and we've had really great success. So she got us started, and it's been an amazing ride.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So this week we talked all about Kingdom Come in our business. We got to watch that video, Don Flo, he has truly the perfect last name for owning a car sales place. What's top of mind for you guys? Like, what are you still processing initially from that conversation?
Yeah, so, you know, we did our breakout groups, and then the one I was in, we talked a lot about how he took his core values and implemented them through strategy, not just a set of values that you know you want to kind of abide by in your business, but he really took them and planned a strategy for each one of them and how it would be implemented in his business. And I just thought that was so great. I mean, I have Fit 20 is a franchise, and it comes with its core values because you're buying into a brand when you have a franchise. And so we do, abide is the only word I can think of, but we do use them regularly. But it really got me thinking of like how those core values can reflect God's love and how I can start strategizing, utilizing those core values.
Interesting. So one of the things Dave and I have talked about before is just that there's a lot of concepts that don't have a lot of practical next steps.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like it's all like stays in our head and then we're like, what do we do about it? And so I do think this week is a lot about what does it mean to actually have a strategy? What does it mean to actually implement?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts, Dave?
Well, I appreciate what you shared, Rebecca. I think that what I found so remarkable about our conversation was, in many ways, Don Flo has done something that we've talked with a lot of entrepreneurs about, and that is he deconstructed his industry first. And he said, you know, what is, and then he took the big concepts of kind of scriptural teaching, love, hope, faith. He said, what does it look like for love and faith and hope to be experienced by my customers, right? And so he reconstructed his business around these concepts and changed a lot of things. So I was just impressed by the level of like flexibility and change that he was willing to put into his business to actually change the way they sell, change the way they inspect cars, change the way they price. And so most of us, like, we want to take our, to be honest, a lot of values come out of a cookie cutter machine, you know? I mean, if you were to do a survey of business values across the United States, like, they probably, if you had one of the AI things, just make a summary, it's probably like a total of 10 words are used by all, or 10 by 10 million businesses. So it's like this cookie cutter thing, and then the values get lip service. But I think the challenge is, like, how do we actually take the time and the risk to look at what the Bible really says? Like, what does the Bible say about faithfulness? What does the Bible say about hope? Like, are people experiencing hope? And so that's a lot harder and a lot more challenging, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
I'm curious, Rebecca. So one of your franchises is Malawi's Pizza. If, for those who don't know, Malawi's Pizza, it is built on a mission of bringing food to Africa?
Malawi, Africa.
Okay. You know, I was never good at geography, so I always say these things with with zero authority. Anyway, so Rebecca, when you guys were choosing a franchise, is that part of why you did? Were you super attracted to the fact that they were really trying to do something different?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's actually a really funny story, and I will save you all of the time by not telling the whole thing. But essentially, we had a huge list of businesses, franchises that we were potentially going to invest in. And at the beginning of it, I said, cool, we can do anything but a restaurant. And then the day my son was born, my husband and I prayed over this decision, and we were like, you know, because marketing is an event planning is what I thrive at in business, well, and in life. So maybe that Malawi's Pizza concept would work for us because it's already doing good, and we can expand that and make sure we bring it to the local people in need as well. And so we were talking on that, and literally in Trendelenburg, upside down in a hospital room, trying to not have a baby. My mom, like 5 minutes later, because we're asking God, can you just show us, is this the right thing? She comes into the room after getting off a plane from Utah because she wanted to be there when her grandchild was born. And she says, man, my grandchild better be worth it because I did not get my dessert pizza from Malawi's before we left Utah. And Patrick and I looked at each other. We're like, this is it. God's telling us we have to do something with this. And here we are 8 years later.
That's a great story.
That's so funny. Also, you're one of the very few people I will ever meet who was like, and in the middle of giving birth, I was also like strategizing on.
Exactly. That tells you a lot about me in general, that story.
But, you know, it does speak to this whole thing about tenacity. And as you know, and Rebecca, you've experienced it in your businesses. We saw it in the video with Don Flo. Like, he's not a young man in the video. And it's clear that he's been doing what he's doing for a number of years.
Yeah, sure.
And so all these things, they all take time, you know. And I don't know about you, but, like, I'm always in a hurry, you know. I want things to be done tomorrow. And so I think that's part of the deal here is we have to be willing to walk it through. And it doesn't, like, just because you take a concept from Scripture and you try and apply it to your life and your business, it doesn't mean you're going to understand it all right away. In fact, we, at our Founders Table event, I shared the story of the disciples meeting Jesus on the road to Emmaus. After I told the story, I've had the Lord, like, really speak to me about two or three things in that story that I didn't talk about. I think I missed the story when I shared it. So you don't, like, I think a lot of this stuff, it takes time. And I don't know, I can't speak for you ladies, but I'm like thick-headed. And so God has to really get my attention. It takes time for me to understand and then have enough tenacity to implement these things into my business.
Yeah, for sure. At the beginning of this year, Joel, our pastor at Crossroads, we did a sermon series, and part of that we were fasting, and he asked us to do bold prayers. Like, what if you got all the answers for everything you prayed for today? What would you pray for? And at that time, I wasn't in the position I am with Fit 20 yet. And I was not familiar with bold prayer. It was kind of these gentle asks, like, maybe if you think about it, God. But I took it seriously, and man, it drastically changed so many things for my business. And that tenacity was an important part, because you might get the answer and then you might not do something with it. So you have to be paying attention if you're asking God for things, for him to show you in his way how he might get that done with you.
Yeah. And then, of course, you know, what goes with it is then the risk that follows to be obedient, right?
Yes.
That's what happens next, because so much of what he tells us is a surprise. We go, you want me to do what, Lord? And so I think then we have to take these risks. And that's what we saw, I think, also in the video we watched this last week, was just the willingness to do things that were out of the norm.
Yeah.
That were not standard practice in the industry. And that takes, you know, and I guess when you're in a business space, you also have to have people around you who are willing to take those risks with you. And I'm, in my case, my wife has been an amazing partner through many iterations of entrepreneurial life. Mm-hmm. And I think your team members, your spouse, your circle of support has to be has to understand that this is like a risk journey. It's not something that's going to be easy.
Yeah, for sure. In my case at Fit 20, I'm naturally a starter, not a finisher or a follow-thrower. So I will get things going, but I have team members that are very good at that follow-through, or picking it up, kind of like a relay. You know, they take the baton and they keep it going. But it's been really cool because I don't have as much direct contact with our members like I used to when I was a trainer. And so I've been able to open up and show my love for the Lord and being compassionate in many ways with my team. And I can see that it translates through them to the members, which I think is so cool. But yeah, the people that are right around you, that circle is important.
Yeah. And that leadership that you're talking about is, once you commit yourself to this path, as you model that for others, that allows you to transmit that through the organization so that those values become actually real. For many people, a set of values is just like a piece of paper on the wall, maybe not even on the wall, maybe just in a binder, in a binder somewhere, you know, but it's not being lived out. I was with another franchise that we support commercially, and I started the relationship with them. This group is a group of people who would say they're a Christian franchise, and that's how they promote themselves. And I started the meeting with prayer with them, but they never prayed. And then when they led meetings, they never prayed. And then recently, they started praying in their meetings. I thought, I don't know if I had anything to do with that, but I was really glad to see them starting to live out this value that they, it was probably on their wall, you know?
Yeah. So recently I went to brunch with a two ladies from church, and one of the women asked the server if there was anything we could pray over for her before we ate our meal. She gave us an answer. So I did that at a lunch meeting with a coworker, and I did it. And he was so blown away, just like I was when I experienced it for the first time, not just praying, but then bringing in the server and asking how we could pray for them. And he was like, I'm going to do that. That's so great. And so I think, you know, just some planting those small seeds along the way. He's already a believer, but maybe that server wasn't, you know, I'm not sure. So.
Yeah, that's cool. I've done that too. And it's really fun. You know, Amy, we also talked about this whole thing about how the kingdom of God, you know, we live in this overlap. We live in the world of, the world continues in its corrupt form. It still has God's fingerprints on it. It still has his design marks on it. It still is his presence, but it's corrupted and the enemy influences it. Enemy is the ruling sway. And then, yet here we are. We are people who live in that world, but we also have been made spiritually alive in a relationship with God. And we use this word amphibians, that we're swimming in both of these things at the same time, which is, I think, really interesting and I think really challenging. I'm curious, Rebecca, if that's something that you've thought about, or if you've seen examples of that in your work.
Yeah, sure. I think for me, being a franchise has it's extremely great as far as you have someone else's success to piggyback off of. But then there are limitations because you do have to stay very strict to the brand standard and not to deviate from it, which I think, again, has its perks. But as far as the kingdom is concerned, I want to make sure I'm finding innovative ways to bring them together. And so I think we, in the past, we were told our trainers couldn't have controversial conversations with members. And generally speaking, that's a very good rule of thumb, but we can still show them the love that Jesus has for us and for them through our work. And so I do think a lot about how that scenario and being in these two places at one time, I guess, and having to work through being part of the kingdom, but then also being here part on earth. I think it's, again, part of that strategy I talked about in the beginning, finding ways to bring them together, to bring both of those things together. And we have been doing that. It's been before I was put into this position, which happened March 1st, I really didn't have the luxury of that. I was very cut and dry what could and couldn't be done. I didn't have any ownership, any stake like that. And so now that I do, I didn't want to change it overnight and scare people, but I also want to make sure that the kingdom is a big part of our business. We touch a lot of lives. Hope comes easy because we give people hope that they didn't have before. And it typically translates into faith. Like, how could this be happening for me through what we do at Stage One? And so I think the love is the part that we really want to start showing through any means necessary to our members, because we do. They're not just a number to us. We care about each and every single one of them and their results and living a long, healthy life where they can, you know, live for the kingdom. So, yeah, I think God is opening doors for me to be able to do that and for my team to be able to do that. And I think that's really exciting.
You said earlier, Rebecca, that you are a starter, but not necessarily a follow-through or finisher. And I think you're probably speaking to a very large percentage of people that are the same way.
Sure, yeah.
A lot of entrepreneurs are that way. But I think what's interesting about that is that when you recognize that skill set and see it as a benefit, because I think there's a lot of cultures, even just church culture in general, but employee culture doesn't really value those skills. Like, we really value the skills that are sustaining skills and that are implementing skills and, you know, but actually the starter skills are so important. So when you value them, you recognize them in yourself. And then when you're in a position of authority, if you take that with this idea of being an amphibian, suddenly, I think the whole kingdom opens up because you are catalytic, right? Like, you have the authority and the gift set, the grace to go catalyze and spark and join with what the Holy Spirit's doing everywhere you go. That's something that I'm processing in terms of being someone who's constantly open to what the Holy Spirit's doing while also being aware of kind of like the unseen realm and the seen realm all at the same time.
Yeah.
But I'm not naturally as catalytic as I would say you or Dave are. You guys are naturally have much more of that apostolic inclination, that evangelistic inclination. Yeah. And so it's just interesting to hear how you're finding ways to live in that overlap, because it's so true to kind of your gift set. I just wanted to say out loud for our listeners, these are important skills. And if those are the skills you have, they are really good, great gifts.
Yeah. It took me a bit to figure that part of me out, because I do get things done. But I'm very good at quickly getting something done when it needs to be. And then the rest of the time, it's very creative, very idea oriented, getting it going, getting it off the ground. And then I can even strategize how someone else will finish it or follow through with it. But for me, my brain's already on to the next, what do we need to get going on?
Yeah.
So that's kind of where that comes through. And I was just saying, for me, the way I figured that out was through the Clifton Strengths Finder. That really helped me see what my strengths were. And then even just by reading them, I could figure out what my team's strengths were and where they might have lower strengths so that we could work together and really bring things to fruition.
That's fascinating. I also heard you say something about in the franchise setting, there's boundaries. Like you can't just do whatever you want. You have rules. You have actually a contractual agreements about how things have to be done. But it points out something really interesting for everybody. And that is we have places in our life where we can be only the influence. And we have other places where we have total freedom to shape things, right? And to rebuild them in the way we want to. For some of us, like that's really frustrating sometimes if all we can do is have influence. But I do think it's like a universal reality. If you think about Don Flo's automotive business, like there's regulations around credit. There's regulations around automotive repair. And you have to follow those. Those are boundaries you have to live within. But you can still influence people. So I do think there's a balance here when we live in this amphibious role of being both in the practical world and the spiritual at the same time. There are places where we have a lot of freedom to create, and there are other places where we only have freedom to influence, right? But we can be effective in both of those. It is important, though, that we don't think that we don't self-impose boundaries or let the culture impose boundaries on us that are not actually there. And so I do think a lot of people who are in business live in self-imposed, they believe whatever lie the world is spinning that they can't do certain things. Like you can't pray with the waitress or the waiter. You couldn't do that. You couldn't mention your faith to someone in the public space. So I do think that we've taken cultural cues too far to box us in.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think for me, in Fit 20, we literally defy all cultural norms when it comes to fitness. And it's very challenging, I would say, when you have skeptics. And so we have a lot of practice with going outside of what a typical culture or society would say is accurate when it comes to fitness. And we prove it every time that it works. But in the same respect, I think some of those boundaries were self-imposed for me before because I'm in a franchise. I think I had just decided that I didn't have the ability to have certain influences before. And now I just feel more comfortable doing them because I'm in a position of ownership. And so because all the things we're doing now, I very well could have done before, but I think God agreed with me that giving me the authority to do them would give me more credibility and trust in that position. And it really has. I mean, people so far are following, and I'm very fortunate to have believers on my team. So it's not like I'm challenging their belief system or something at this point, but we are really opening up what can and can't be done with that belief system in our business, which I think is so cool.
That is cool. I do think it's actually a really good example of what we talked about in terms of unpacking the industry. Like if you go out and I'm no expert in it, so you could correct me, please, if I'm wrong. But if you go out in the exercise industry, like what everyone's pitching is, oh, you have to just beat yourself up and you have to do it every day. And you have to do this extreme exercise if you want to lose weight or get fit. But we know that what's actually happening is you're releasing cortisol in your body because of all that stress, which is doing the opposite. And you guys have done the opposite, which is slow, focused workouts that are only done once a week, focusing on different levels of your muscle fiber. So that's a really good example of the contrast between kind of doing something that's counterculture versus something that is really accepted. Like everyone thinks you have to beat yourself up, right?
Yeah, I did before I was with Fit 20 for sure. I was 45 minutes a day, 5-6 days a week. And I would lose weight and then it would come right back. And I did all the nutrition things I was told. I did all the protein I was told, the pre-workout. And when I look, I have a smart scale that measures all different parts of the body, skeletal, muscle mass, all that. And it fluctuated. It would go up and down and up and down and up and down. The first 90 days of Fit 20, it went straight down and it has stayed there. And that is literally like the once a week, 20 minutes. And it, to me, it's a God thing. I mean, he put me in the right place at the right time. And that was 5 years ago. And I was an intern, an unpaid intern And he has granted me all of this access to move up and beyond where I started. And through my results, I was able to go off of several medications. And that is that hope that we could give people. And for me, it really instilled my faith, because that he held my hand through every single step of it. And it really is. It's a counterculture. What we do is so off the beaten path, but is scientifically proven. And in my personal opinion, is God proven. And so they really go hand in hand. And I get very excited when I talk.
Well, you're tapping into part of the design, human design that God put in humans, right? You guys have tapped into that rather than this kind of this other body image thing, which is this whole fitness body image thing that I think is so detrimental in our culture.
Yeah, absolutely.
I experienced, after having children, going into Fit 20, and it was like this, it was a safe place for me to say, okay, I would like to lose weight and I do have these other goals, but actually I'm here for strength. Actually, yeah. I'm here because I want longevity in my life and longevity in my ability to play with my grandkids one day and all those things. And it was a safe place. I mean, I've never been to a gym where I felt safe saying, I'm not really here to look like you. I'm really here because
yeah.
I have bigger health goals than just like being thin. And that for me was a beautiful thing. So it's interesting to me that you have two franchises, both of which are really able to speak to something different for people. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think that more of us than we realize have the capacity in our businesses to turn something on its head and do something that inherently brings common grace. Because when something inherently brings common grace, right, it is an act of love in and of itself.
Yeah.
That opens more doors. Like you've said, you're bringing hope just by the work you're doing. And so because the work you're doing brings hope, it opens more doors to bring saving grace, right?
Yeah, like
to really
absolutely
bring Jesus into the conversation. So that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that before.
Yeah, no, I love that.
It's a great example. I do think also in your business, since both of us have experienced it, which we didn't, this wasn't really the focus of our talk today, but yeah. I think it's a good example. Also, you can see the values. You can see it's like this positive regard and hope. You can see that come through the trainer that you work with, right?
Yeah.
So I've gone to other gyms and I would walk out feeling like a piece of junk because I didn't measure up to the body image, the ethics that trainer had. And I could see that they were looking at me like, dude, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
And so that comes through. And I guess the hard part about this is you can think about Don Flo as well. He's got salespeople, he's got sales managers, he's got lots of locations. How do you, as a leader, how do you get that into the fiber of all of those people so that it comes through them? Because in the end, like a lot of this stuff is not what we put out in our websites and in social media. This is what humans communicate to humans. And if you walk into a gym or a car dealership and someone looks at you with contempt, even if they don't think you know, usually you do and you feel it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or if someone looks at you with positive regard and so or love. So I guess to me, that's a big challenge is how do you work this in? It's one thing if you're a solopreneur and you can just do everything you do, then you have to look in the mirror and hope you're seeing straight, you know? But what about when the team gets bigger? How do you get this stuff into people's lives and hearts? So that's a big challenge.
Yeah, it sure is. So we own the three Virginia studios, and my trainers at the end of every shift, they send us a daily recap. And it's been really cool because they love our members so well, and they send in without being prompted. They'll share stories about their members and, oh, I'm so close. I'm going to get him to this goal. It's not just feedback or just testimony about how the member's doing. It's about how the trainer wants to help and work with that member on accomplishing whatever it is. So as we grow, we are nationwide. We're in multiple states. And so I think, again, the way that I'm working through my team, I will also work through my franchisees to implement a lot of those same things. It's almost like I get a practice round here in our Virginia studios and then allow that to translate across the nation.
Yeah. And of course, the stronger it is at the core, the more clearly defined and the more effectively it's modeled at the core, the more it's going to work its way out, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. The other thing you said, which I thought was interesting, you joked about the devil stopping you from doing the podcast. The other part of this kingdom discussion we had about living in the overlap, and we do live in a world that does have actual bad stuff in it.
Yeah.
Not just, so I do think part of what we have to wrestle with is, as business leaders, is where is something happening that's actually more than just human. And I know in our business, we have definitely experienced moments when there are things going on that we go, yeah, this is not just, this is more. And so I do think we experience spiritual realities. And also I think with people, we interact with people and sometimes we go, wow, that seemed like a little bit of augmented humanity there, you know? So I think that's part of the deal is being able to discern darkness than to take authority over it, which is not something that's also not normal. Like in the business world, we blame it on the economy, blame it on something else, but.
Yeah, absolutely.
We recently went on had a little retreat, and I was amazed at my capacity to be aware of what was happening spiritually when I came back. It was like everything was cleared out and I was, you know, super aware of spiritual warfare. I was having divine knowledge about people around me. And I just was like, oh my gosh, I have got to get away more often.
Because
especially when you are someone who is in charge of a team like you are, Rebecca, you're bombarded by what's going on with other people, of tasks. You're bombarded with needs. And so do you have any practices of stepping away and clearing anything like
that? Definitely not like retreat-wise, but my son and I just yesterday started what's called the 40-40 challenge. And it's you walk a mile a day for 40 days and the word of God. And we're studying the book of John. It's an official company that does this. And that was my thing was I had already told him before we started yesterday, there are going to be days we don't want to do this. And that's the devil talk. There are going to be days it's raining. And I already know how many flights of stairs it takes to do a mile. So, you know, there are no excuses, Benjamin, we're doing it. And so, but it's fun. And as we were walking, said, Mom, can I pray over you and your goals? Because I had just prayed over him and his. And I was just going to keep going in the prayer and pray for myself. But he volunteered and was so excited. And so for me, I will say in the past, I've been very bad about giving myself time to clear my mind. But this, it's like I'm filling it, but with the right stuff and not business, just letting the Lord do his work. And man, yesterday was day one and it was already so good for both of us. And we're really excited to keep doing that. Hmm.
That is so cool. You said it's called the 40-40 challenge?
Yep. And that you can go to 4040challenge.com and they have all the stuff there. You get a medal and a t-shirt and they have a kids version. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. All those practices, whether it's physical rest or exercise or I mean, I'm not talking about strength training. I'm talking about relaxation kinds of exercise, walking, fishing. That's what I would say, fishing.
Gardening. Would not say fishing.
No, nope,
it's not one on my list.
Well,
napping in a second.
Napping.
There's I love a nap.
Oh, that absolutely counts. I'm all in on that. Well, this has been a really great conversation. Thank you again, Rebecca. We appreciate your time.
No, thank you for the opportunity. This has been great.
Thanks for sharing, and thanks for sharing your insights and your journey. We'll be looking forward to watching Fit 20 take the planet by storm. I'm saying now.
I say
global Fit 20. So there we go.
I'm ready. We are all over the world, so we're going to keep it going, and awesome. I'm excited for what God has in store.
Thank you again.
Guys, well, enjoy as you are processing yourselves, go find someone and have a chat. That's one of the ways that we process, so... We hope you'll do that, and we'll see you next week.